Franz Joseph Haydn died 200 years ago today, May 31st, 1809. He was a prolific composer. In addition to the numerous string quartets and trios, piano sonatas and oratorios, he wrote more than 100 symphonies. You're listening to the first movement in his symphony number 42 in D major. Now, if that sounds like just another symphony in the classical style, it helps to remember that composers who came after him used Haydn as a model. Here to talk about Haydn and his influence is Weekend Edition's classical music commentator, Robert Greenberg. Welcome back to the show.
Great to be here, Leanne.
What is it about that piece of music we just heard that defines the classical era style?
With the understanding that what I'm about to say is grossly generalized, what defines the classical style, especially in Haydn's hands, is the predominance of vocally conceived melody. This is a piece of music composed in 1771 during what we now call the Enlightenment, that great evolution of the middle class. And there was a feeling about, a sensibility, that the ideal music of that time should somehow be accessible to the idealized every person. So naturalness was the buzzword.
Back up a little bit to baby Haydn. He was a small-town Austrian, and I gather he didn't come from a musical family, but he had a good voice. Was he a diamond in the rough?
He was a diamond all the time, I think. He showed tremendous musical talent as a young child. His parents could not educate him properly in this small town, Rohrau, near the Hungarian border in Austria, so he was sent to a succession of schools so he could be trained properly.
When Haydn left school, he didn't have many compositional skills, his voice had cracked, and he wasn't even, you know, that attractive. What did he have going for him?
When he left St. Stephen's Cathedral, where he was a choir boy in Vienna at 17, or when he was kicked out, we should better say, because his voice had cracked and his father wouldn't allow him to be castrated so that he could keep his soprano voice, what he had going for him at that age was determination, his energy, and an amazing personality. He was cheerful, and the only person in his whole life that he didn't get along with was his wife. Now, he would refer to her as the infernal beast. When a guy grows up singing in church choirs and living basically a monastic existence until he's 17, he is not equipped to deal with women, and Haydn married poorly.
Tell us about the Esterházy family, because he managed to score a pretty good gig with them.
Oh, he scored a great gig. And this is a case of good things happening to good people eventually. He was snapped up by the Esterházy family, one of the wealthiest families in all of Hungary, having worked for Prince Paul Anton Esterházy for 1 year. He died, his brother took over, and that was the gig, because his brother, Nicholas the Magnificent, loved music and loved his Haydn. And he kept that job. He kept working for the Esterházys until 1790, 29 years in the family's employ.
And what did he create during that time?
Oh, he created a body of work and a style, a relaxed, cheerful, but still emotionally intense style that we generally refer to today as the classical style. After Haydn, no one could possibly write works in those genres without looking at Haydn.
You wanted us to hear his Concerto No. 1 in C major for cello, Movement 3. What's special about this one?
Well, aside from the fact that it's a fabulous piece of music, it's also got a fascinating history. It was written for a cellist named Josef Weigel, and the piece went missing. in the late 1760s. It was composed around 1765. And it wasn't discovered until 1961. It was discovered in Prague. The parts were found. So it was first performed since the 1760s in 1962.
You said he's charming, and he had a sense of humor. And one illustration of that is the Farewell Symphony.
Oh, it's just a wonderful piece. Yeah, it was composed in 1772. This Prince Nicholas, nicknamed the Magnificent, really did have a penchant for spending a lot of money. And among the many things Nicholas did was build himself this huge castle, which he called Esterháza, in a swamp in Hungary. You'd spend the summer and late spring and early fall, roughly 5 or 6 months, at Esterháza, and then the castle would be packed up and everyone would return to Vienna for the winter season. But in 1772, he tarried. September went into October, and October went into November, and the musicians wanted to go home. They lived in a dormitory without their wives, without their children. It was time to go back to Vienna and be part of the family. And they appealed to Haydn, and Haydn didn't know what to do because he's a working man. He can't tell the prince, it's time for us to leave, prince. So in a typically short period of time, Haydn wrote this wonderful symphony that concludes with one by one the players stopping, blowing out the candle on their music stand, taking their music and walking off the stage, one by one. Until finally, at the end of this so-called Farewell Symphony, there were only two violinists left on stage. The message being, it's time to go. The prince understood, being a smart man, exactly what was being told, and he closed up shop the next day.
When Haydn bid his final farewell to the Esterházy family, he was pretty hot. I mean, he went to London, and he was very popular there.
Yeah, he was very popular. Many countries, especially England, thought that he was being held prisoner by Count Esterházy. But, you know, those were the days when composers did have to be indentured to a family. That's just the way it was. Haydn had outstanding invitations to go to England and particularly London, and he took those invitations twice, between 1790 and 92, and then again between 94 and 95. And during these English residences, he was feted and celebrated. He met the king, he met the queen, he met everybody, and at the same time wrote some of the most extraordinary music ever written by anyone.
Twelve London symphonies.
So called because six of them were written during the first visit to London, and six of them were written during the second visit to London, his last 12 symphonies.
And the one we're hearing is his symphony 104 in D major, the opening of the second movement, and that was 1795.
Correct. This was the last of his symphonies, his final symphony, and his final London symphony. If he had died at 35 the way Mozart did, we would never remember Haydn for having done anything, because he was a late bloomer and he appreciated his fame, I think, in a way that many might not have, because he made it happen by himself.
Franz Josef Haydn died 200 years ago today, at the age of 77. Music historian Robert Greenberg is with San Francisco Performances and the Teaching Company, which markets recorded lectures in the arts and sciences, and he joined us from member station KQED in San Francisco. Robert, thank you so much.
My great pleasure.
This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Leanne Hansen.